Thank you for doing. So last weekend, we discussed how words, even if they are truthful, can hurt you or hurt a person. And even Michael has mentioned this morning how there's a time and a place for certain things to be said. So on that, in lieu of that topic, we're going to be talking about some other words and things that we can say. Whereas in the world, we know that there are certain little four-letter words that we can't say. One of the things is I found this topic, I got it from an idea from one of those, Dave Hart posts a lot of things. I know Diane shares a lot of them as well. So I see them and I saw it and I was like, that would make for a wonderful lesson. And I thought, let's try it. So oftentimes when people look into Christianity, or sometimes they hear certain things, they think, well, I can't do that or I can't do this. And this is where I got this idea, was here are some four-letter words that we can say. Because, you know, as a lot of things, we cannot say. Ephesians 4:29, if we'll go to that real quick. And this deals with the fact that we're not supposed to be saying the words that the world utter, unfortunately. It says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Again, today's lesson, we're going to be talking about four-letter words that we can use to edify, to encourage, to uplift each other and those that are around us. Most important four-letter word we've discussed, I'm pretty sure, several lessons, so we're going to try to keep it a little bit brief, and that is the word love. There's no way we can have a Bible lesson about four-letter words without this word. And since it is the first and greatest commandment, it's fitting that we use it first. So if we would, just Matthew chapter 22. Just to see this verse real quick. 30. And it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Love is the biggest priority in our lives. If we're not showing it, we're not following the commands. Without love, who are we? If we don't have love, what are we to God? Nothing. We don't have God if we do not have love. Love is never failing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Oh, that went wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we'll be looking. Verses 4 through 8. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, or love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Very important. How important love is. No matter what, it will not fail. It may not give us what we want, but it will not fail. Kind of a show my upbringing a little bit here is I have a song. I had a song going through my mind, and unfortunately, Tristan probably heard it like 5 or 6 times as I was just playing it, and I thought it was fitting. Since growing up with the grandparents, you hear some of these older songs, so you know this kind of sunk into me as I was dealing with this love again. So I want us to share some of the lyrics of it. It's the opening lyrics of this song, and most of the people here probably know this song. It says, think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place for you and me, you just wait and see. Another day goes, and still the children cry, put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place, and the world will be a better place for you and me. And that song was sung by Jackie DeShannon, is whom I was referencing to. It has been redone, and of course, but it just shows how powerful love can be. And we've seen it in the Bible that this is true. It's not just the song. Now, as Christians, we know that with our love, we're just one person. We may not be able to change the entire world with our love, but from my perspective, coming into the world, coming in from the world, you can change the world of one person by your love. And that is a very powerful thing, if you think about it. The next four-letter word I want to share with us, and something that should be part of our daily lives, that word is pray. Very powerful, very important word for us. And how wonderful is it to pray? We've talked about it before, that we can take our worries, take our concerns, take our happiness, and share it with God. And He's willing, the All-Creator, to sit up there and say, you are important enough for me to listen to. You, me, that little speck of sand in this thousands of stars or in the desert. He wants to hear us. To me, that is amazing. Even more amazing is knowing that He will take care of us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verse 7. Cannot talk about prayer without using this verse. Actually, some of the verses I'm using, you can't do prayer without talking about these. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares about you. A little speck of sand that we are compared to the millions of people out there, God cares about us. He wants to hear our problems. Take them to Him. He wants to know when you're happy. Take it to Him. Give Him praise. This verse right here is another one of those personal verses that helps me get through times, and it may help you as well. We talked earlier how man will fail us, but God will never fail us. God can handle our problems. God is willing to listen to Him when nobody else in the world feels like they will. But God is bigger than all of our problems. Likewise, we talked a little bit this morning how we aren't alone. You know, we saw the lamb that we should be out there searching and finding it. And that's reassuring. But let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 16. I actually mentioned this in my invitation earlier. Is confess your faults one to another and pray one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How good is it to know that God wants us all to tell each other we're struggling? You don't have to just take it to God. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones, and they can each pray for you as well. And God wants you to do this. He wants you guys to work together. He wants us all to work together and pray for one another. Notice when I was a young Christian, or starting out, I'm still a young Christian, I guess, I didn't feel like I could pray properly to God. You know, there's times you just, I don't know what to say. You know, maybe I'm not good enough to pray to God. Or sometimes, you know, I only have the same thing stuck in my head. Well, then it dawned on me, and I hope y'all realize this as well, is thinking those thoughts, that's nothing more than the devil trying to take us away. We're commanded to pray. But if we don't feel like praying, that's the devil working on us, pulling us away from God. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Finding this verse as well, it just sends off a light bulb in my head. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As long as we're praying from the heart, God understands. The Spirit makes intercessions. I may not have the biggest, fanciest words to use to God. I may not be the most intelligent person when it comes to putting my words together. I may forget things. But if I'm praying from my heart, God understands. That is so comforting to anyone who's doubting how important your prayers are. Very important. And he doesn't look down on us for lacking anything of that sort. Again, if we're praying from our heart, that's what he judges us, our heart. Now, we can't discuss praying without 1 Thessalonians 5:17, prayer without ceasing. We're going to go ahead and turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Someone drop down there. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. And we discussed before that it doesn't mean from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you're in constant prayer. It means be out there. Be thankful for everything that happens. If there's something on your mind, don't be afraid to pray about it. If you're happy your team just scored a point, pray about it. Whatever it may be, take everything in prayer to God. Another four-letter word that kind of why I waited to use it on here is a word that the world itself may think is a profane word, which is kind of ironic. But us as Christians, we think this is a blessing. And that's the word work. Kind of a profane word for the outside world, isn't it? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. But to us, this is such a wonderful, wonderful word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and unto men. So everything we're doing, from the conversations that we're having, the sports we play, the sitting in the pew, sitting in class, going to work and actually having to deal with those people we really don't care for. Do all things like you were doing it to Christ. Look at that person that you feel like you're disliking or something, and say, what if that was Christ standing before me? How would I treat him then? And the answer better be that you treat him properly, with love and respect. Similar passage we can find in 1 Corinthians 10:31. We'll go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And it reads, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Everything we do. We eat, we drink, give thanks. But we're to do everything to glorify God. It's kind of humbling. Another verse I want to look at is Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. We're to do good things. We're to do work to help provide. We aren't supposed to be a group of people that are just lazy, is basically the best word to put. That's another four-letter word, though. But we are not. We are to continue to be working. We are not to be like the Gentiles and stealing and taking away. I recall many times being in the factory where a person would, this would not be considered stealing to the world's mind, but if they're slacking off during their work, taking a few extra minutes for their break, they're stealing from the company. Think about it. They need to be working. They're getting paid for. That's what they agreed to do. Need to be doing it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, and this is what I chuckled at earlier, because Diane brought this up in the bulletin there. If you haven't read it, please do. But 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Oh, wait. I'm thinking something else. My apologies. That isn't from the bulletin. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, there would he eat. Now, when we see the word work here, it's not referring to the fact that we have a 40-hour work week. It's not referring to going in, punching a time clock. Just keep busy. If you are crippled at home, sick or something, it doesn't take much, especially with today's technology, to hands-free call somebody. Check in on them. How are you doing? Writing a postcard. Doing little things, keeping busy. It isn't just about sitting around doing nothing at home. We need to be busy as Christians. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking breaks. I'm not don't take it wrong that way. You definitely can't. There's time for a place for a rest. Kind of tied in with what the lesson was from this morning as well, like the lost sheep. Somebody that's, you know, maybe they're not able to go out and do much. But any of us can pick up a phone. Almost everybody has a cell phone these days, or a house phone or some sort. Phone books, whatever we want. If we need somebody's number, we can always get it. We are resourceful. It doesn't take much to get somebody a call. I give somebody a call. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll end our discussion on work here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Look at it this way. If you're at your job, you're working as good as you can, doing what you're supposed to do, it isn't you that's doing it. You're doing it to glorify God. Not doing it to seek your own praise. You're doing it to glorify God. It's just a bonus that you get your paycheck and keep your job. But again, that is a gift from God as well. Our next little four-letter word, we've quite often gone into lessons about, but that is the word obey. Let's take a brief look at that real quick. And I mean brief. Go to John 14, 15. You can go there. This is where I was thinking of coming down. And I laugh at this one every single time I have to use it. Because I still remember the student in my classroom that would always use it to answer everything. Because it does answer just about everything. But when you want more meat, you need more than this. But John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people in the world say that they love God or they love Christ. They have those little Jesus fishes everywhere. You see them everywhere. But they don't truly love God. To love him is to do as he says. That first and greatest commandment we saw with love, or is to love him. And by loving him, we do his works. And to me, this is a kind of the verse that sums everything up. If you want to be a Christian, you want to follow God, you love him, you follow what he says. That, to me, sums up everything. Let's drop down to verse 21. It's going to be kind of interesting here. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and himself to him. Kind of works nice. How it kind of works in full circle here. We love God. We keep his commandments. There's going to be that more abundant love coming from him as well. So it isn't just a one-sided thing. It's very interesting. And we know that, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, he loves the world, but, you know, I love everybody in this room, but I love my son a lot more than some of you. Some. Unfortunately, you're down there a little low. Just kidding. You know, it's a little different. When somebody actually obeys you and follows you, it's a little stronger love, I believe. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verse 21. It says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my will, my Father, which is in heaven. This passage itself still scares me today, and it should scare you. And if it doesn't, let's look at it a little different. There's a lot of people out there in this world that claim they're a Christian, as we've already mentioned. You know, they put the facade on, they have the crosses hanging off their necklaces, they have the Jesus fishes everywhere, and they're like, oh, that makes me a Christian. But look at this. It says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just calling on his name isn't enough. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Only those are the people that are going to go to heaven. Proclaiming and shouting his name, telling everybody you're a Christian, is not going to get you to heaven if you haven't followed his plans. If you haven't obeyed his will. I know I tend to get black and white in things, but this is about as black and white as it gets. Follow his will, go to heaven. Alternative is you don't follow his will, and you miss out on the chance to see the beautiful place that we call home. Another wonderful four-letter word, one that a lot of people don't like, that's the word give. And we're not talking just collection plate here. I could have gone that route, but I wanted to go a different route. To me, it's always been easy to say, I'll give you the shirt off my back. That's not a problem. I'll give you that. But for me, it's harder to let somebody else help me. I know a lot of people are like this as well. But one of the things we got to look at first is let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We can flip this around a little bit and look at it this way, is if I were to deny somebody to help me, I'm denying them from feeling this wonderful feeling that they're going to have. There's nothing wrong with allowing somebody to help you. If you need help, ask for it. Now let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're looking at verse 38. And it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you your bosom. For with the same measure that you met out, it shall be measured to you again. Now, we got to understand that it's not, I'm going to give you $1,000, you give me $1,000 back, or that sort of thing. It's more of a character thing. If I show somebody love and kindness, what are they going to do? You know, I've always heard that. I remember when I was a kid, you know, the best way to get a girl to talk to you was you drop your pencil in front of her. Well, she's going to be nice and pick up pencil, and now she has to be nice to you kind of thing. I remember that little thing. That was a lame thing anyways, but if we show love and kindness for people, what are they going to give to us? Now, I know there's those oddballs that are going to be weird, that are just going to be crazy and mean no matter what, but more often than not, all somebody needs is a little bit of love, a little bit of kindness, and we'll get their respect in return. The other thing is, we are not to do this begrudgingly. One of the phrases I like to use, or I try to use my words carefully when talking about things we have to do, we'll say, is you start with that attitude and you start begrudging it. It's like, oh man, I gotta do this. I gotta give people kindness. I've gotta give them love. But no, it's we get to do it. We get to do something and it'll please God when we do it with the goodness of our heart, not because we have to. One of the, or the next word we're going to use, the last one we're going to use, is another four-letter word that kind of ties up everything. And it's one of those words that a Christian has in their vocabulary that they should be using quite often. Whether they're a new Christian, an old Christian, somebody that's not a Christian, this is the most important four-letter word you need to know. Aside from love. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. But that is the word seek. We know Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We'll get the rest of it here in a bit. 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness and all things shall be added unto you. What else should be our goal in life? You know, many times people have been looking for the answer to life, what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be seeking God. That is our purpose on earth, seek and pleasing him. But let's go to James chapter 4 next. James chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, draw nigh, we can use as seeking. Bring yourself closer to God. Seek towards him. But if we're seeking God and then seeking his wisdom and his understanding, seeking as in a non-spectator manner, We don't just come to the pews and sit down and listen to what the preacher has to say. We're actually seeking him on our own. And that's how we purify ourselves, how we become cleaner and become more God-like. We'll use this as an invitation, and we always do, or I quite often do, I should say. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6. We can look at that. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." If we're not out there searching for God, looking for what he wants us to read about him, or how we're supposed to be in life, or how we're supposed to be towards heaven, what do we got? We got nothing. We need to be diligently seeking him in all things that we do. As we said before, God has everything we need in this life. We talked earlier this morning even about, you know, God doesn't tell us how to build a house, is what Kyle brought up, but he gives us that foundation how to build our life, that we are to build our life on Christ. He gives us that plan to get us to heaven. He's left nothing out for us. The fact of the matter is, we have to come to him. We have to seek him. He's there for us, holding it out for us. But we have to take it. We have to look for him on his terms, not ours. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I want to use a few Old Testament verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Just thought this would be an interesting comparison here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with thy heart," "with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul." That little word catches up on you, doesn't it? We need to seek God. If we seek for him in a proper manner with all of our heart, all of our soul, what's this verse say? It says, "But if you seek him, you shall find him." You're not going to find God unless you are looking for him. It's quite interesting. Kind of sounds familiar though, doesn't it? We have to give all of our heart, all of our soul. It takes us back to that first and greatest commandment that we are to love. It's kind of interesting how these few words tie it all together. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And verse 10 is where we're going to be looking. "So with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." We can even see it back in the Old Testament that this was what was expected. To seek God, we're to love him and keep his commandments. It doesn't get much simpler than that. It's not like he's asking us to do anything impossible. He's asking us to do something simple. Drop back down to verse 2. Or go up to verse 2, I apologize. It says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart." Keep repeating it. Same thing. We have to seek after God. Again, he's giving us everything we need to get to heaven. But it's on us to do the work. Even as Christians, you know, we get told a lot of times that we're not allowed to say certain words. We've got our own arsenal of words that we can use. We had the few that we worked on today. There's a few more that we can even go more. But these were pretty big ones to me. It was love, pray, work, obey, give, and seek. In all things that we do, in everything we do, whether we eat, drink, or even our work settings, everything, we're to do them to honor and glorify our Father that is in heaven. If we're not letting our light shine, those around us aren't going to see God in us. They're not going to seek him. We need to be able to be the example so that they want to come to God. And we must ask ourselves, and we talked about this last week, everything we do, everything we say, even if it's in truth, Is what we're saying going to be helpful or hurtful to the person? Is it out of love? We have to make sure love is our first priority. Are we constantly in prayer, as we were talking in Thessalonians? How do we pray without ceasing? Are we thanking God for everything we have? For all the belongings? Are we sharing with him all of our concerns and all of our burdens? If we're not, we're denying him. Take everything to prayer with God. Are we obeying him? Are we studying more? Are we seeking more of his word? Are we wanting to get more into the meat? Are we throwing it to the wayside? I hope not. The best gift I think that any of us here sitting here today can give to somebody, let's use that word again, is this Bible, is the Testament, teaching them the gospel of Christ. What better thing can we give to anyone? And again, we can do that either by sharing our light, saying some words, whatever it be. Share the gospel. Give it to others. There's a lot we can take in from this lesson. As we've seen, we have to seek God's word. And part of seeking it is we listen to the Bible, we read our Bibles. And Romans 10:17 talks about that as well. About faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to hear God's word unless you're seeking it. Again, we can be reading God's word as well and think of it as just a good book. It has no meaning to you unless you're actually seeking it to understand God. There's more to it. We already looked at Hebrews 11:6, how it states that faith wasn't enough. We must also believe him and diligently seek him. There's a lot we must do. And then again, there's some work for us to do. Join using these little four-letter words again. It says we must repent, and we need to change our ways to be obedient to God. Luke 13:3 tells us if we don't do this, we'll perish. And we're not talking you walk outside that door, you get struck by a lightning bolt. God forbid that does happen, but it's not like that. It's a spiritual death, and we here know that. And again, it simply means no heaven. It's a scary thought. It's terrifying. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36, 37, we see the eunuch. He's going over, he's studying the word, he understands it, he believes it's true. We don't exactly see the example of the repentance, but he must have already done that because he said, what's missing me? What's missing that's preventing me from going to get baptized? And it was his confession. He had to confess that Christ was the Son of God. As soon as he did that, you notice he didn't confess his sins. He confessed Christ as the Son of God. And because of that, then he followed and got baptized. In Acts chapter 2:38, we've seen that that's for the remission of his sins. If we continue to do these things in this lesson, especially if we properly love God, remember, he is faithful. He's not a liar. He's not the God of trickery. He says there's a heaven. If we follow his will, he says we'll go to heaven. He will not fail you. If there's any here that need to respond, or if any of them that you need to have, just have prayers, please come forward as we stand and sing this next song. Jesus is tenderly calling me home.